Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman on Tuesday. There's an auction featuring vehicles, trailers, ride-on mowers, lawn and garden equipment, hardwood flooring, a hot tub, boat, shipping containers, and more. Auction is open at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com. /MHS. Good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, my man. How's everything going?
Everything is good. You and good. I were both very busy last night.
Yes.
I was the benefit auctioneer and MC for the Firefly Autism event, Laugh Yourself Blue, over at the Sewell Ballroom yesterday. Had a great night of fundraising.
Oh, that's outstanding.
And I'm thinking, I would like to see what's going on with the draft.
And just check in.
I just wanted to check in. It was during dinner time. And I turn on my phone, and it says Broncos are on the clock. So I'm like, this couldn't have been better in terms of the timing. And then they did what we thought that they would do in a roundabout way, at least with the player.
Yeah, I don't. I wasn't surprised in the least, and especially when Penix went off the board somewhat inexplicably.
That could be a two-hour conversation.
Yeah, with a psychologist, because I need someone to unpack that.
4 years, $100 million guaranteed. Please don't compare this to Aaron Rodgers sitting for a few years or Jordan Love sitting for a few years. It's a top 10 pick. He's 24 years old.
Right. It's weird. That was one of the most bizarre draft moments that I've ever witnessed. But be that as it may,
Broncos got their guy.
Broncos got their guy.
Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
So, Bo Nix is the guy, number 12. That's the pick. What do you think of him? And are you surprised that they didn't trade back? We talked a lot about that. Are you surprised they didn't trade back? Or when Penix went off the board, probably knowing that J.J. McCarthy, in which he did, go off the board at 10, do you think that spooked the Broncos?
Yes. I think that they were... They had some considerations for a move back, but the second that Penix went off the board, it changed everything.
Right.
Yes. George Payton said as much. Said, look, we considered moving back, but once Penix went, it got a little stressful there at the end. We had the Raiders behind us, so we just didn't want to overthink it. This was our guy. And we were going to take our guy. Good for them.
Let's address briefly all the rumors about moving up in the draft. Sean Payton was very clear. I fueled those rumors.
Sure.
He said it.
Yeah.
He said, I participated in the silly season. I kind of put it out there that we might do it.
The quote is, I was actively involved in trying to pretend we were moving forward.
Now, if Jaden Daniels was available at 3 or 4, I have zero doubt they would have moved 14ers to get him. No doubt. They would have done everything they could to get Jaden Daniels. I was told before the draft by a guy I think to be a very reliable source that their quarterback draft board was Caleb Williams, who they knew they weren't going to get, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix.
Yes.
Now, when this person told me this, I said, okay, I'm going to trust your source. Okay? And it was a very good source.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, he was right. And I'm going to tell you why. Did they trade up to get J.J. McCarthy when all they had to do is move up a couple spots?
No.
Then I guess Bo Nix was ahead of J.J. McCarthy.
Yes. Bo Nix was their guy.
Yes.
And sounds like Bo Nix was their guy from the day that they did the in-person private workout.
Right. And this is what Sean Payton told Bill Belichick and Pat McAfee. Here's the quote. on the workouts. It was impressive. I just remember we got in the car afterwards, and I just looked around and said, Are you kidding me? Okay. Peyton also added the Broncos, and he talked about this, and so did George, at the pre-draft press conference about their analytics staff. And he said, the analytics staff isolated Nix's numbers to remove the bubble screens and the line of scrimmage throws. And he said, remove all that, and he's first in yards per completion. You want another ringing endorsement? Alex Forsythe. Now, granted, he's probably a little jaded.
But,
former teammate.
Right.
He said this. Let me find the exact quote. He said he couldn't say enough good things to the Broncos coaching staff about his former college quarterback. He said he told the Broncos that Nix is smart, knows every protection, handles it all at the line of scrimmage, and had the universal respect of the entire team.
Boy, is that screen processor?
Right. And leadership.
Sure.
And toughness.
Yep.
I'll tell you this. I've certainly been critical of Sean Payton, and I've been very clear that I'm not someone who considers myself a talent evaluator. I have to take Sean Payton at his word.
Yes.
I am not going to sit and criticize this pick. I find it comical that guys like a Mel Kiper, I had him in the second round. You know what, Mel? If you were that stinking good, you'd be working for a team. Nobody cares where you had him on your big board or your mock draft, because you're not employed by an NFL team, and neither are any other mock drafters out there. I don't care where you think somebody should be. And I'll tell you why. Because you didn't get a chance to talk to Bo Nix. You didn't get a chance to talk to Marvin Harrison Jr. or Caleb Williams.
It's all film work.
All you're doing is you are seeing what everybody falls in love with. Measurables.
That's it.
So don't tell me where you... Well, that was a value pick, and boy, that was a stupid pick because he should have gone later on my mock draft. Nobody gives a... You got the dump button ready? Because I really want to use this word. Can I?
Well, if we're going to dump it anyway.
Are you going to dump it?
I can dump it.
Are you sure I'm not going to get in trouble?
No.
Let's not do it because you just told people what you were going to.
Nobody gives a shoot about your draft board. And your mock draft.
Well, I mean, people are entertained by it. I mean, they are. I think that you get a level of entertainment by mock drafts.
Yeah, but
You get some things to kind of mull over.
I enjoy mock drafts because it makes our show better. It makes our show something that we can talk about because this is what somebody else said. But you know what mock drafts also do? They are so dripping with arrogance and
self-importance,
conceit, that we know. With that, Bo Nix is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if Peyton believes, and remember, he was the one who came out and said, I think we do this better than everybody else.
Look, this is where he's planting his flag.
Yes, he is.
He has planted it firmly at the base of Mount Nix. And that's where this whole thing is going to roll. This is what he was brought in for. This is what he has been given the keys to the kingdom for, and now it's on Sean Payton. There are no other ancillary things that are left to be dealt with. He has got to come through on Bo Nix. Plain and simple.
What are the chances Bo Nix starts the season?
Probably higher than it would have been with another quarterback just because of his experience.
He's old.
He is 61 games in, more than any player who's played college football.
24 years old. Bill Belichick said it well. He said he is the most quarterback ready in this draft.
Yep.
So what's the phrase that people like to use? He's got a higher floor but a lower ceiling.
Yeah, we'll hear a lot of those things. I will say this, and I asked this question last night on the television side of things.
You do television?
Sometimes.
No idea.
Not well. But how intriguing is their quarterback room all of a sudden?
It's not intriguing to me.
Oh, it is. It's definitely intriguing.
Yeah, Jared Stidham is not a guy who intrigues me on any level.
Great.
With all due respect.
All right, good. Then let me explain myself before you just totally shut it down. Zach Wilson is intriguing. Okay. In this current situation, yeah. Zach Wilson is intriguing because the same brush that Bo Nix is going to be painted with is going to be applied to a degree to Zach Wilson, who, look, I think that we know enough about Zach Wilson because of the last 2 years, but it's at least intriguing. It is a far more intriguing room now than it was 5 days ago. Far more intriguing. Bo Nix makes it intriguing just by himself. But now he has a level of competition.
You know what else is intriguing?
Mm.
The circus. The bearded lady, the really tall guy.
Yeah.
The person who's 700 pounds. That's intriguing. It doesn't mean it's entertaining or it's any good.
Oh, it may. I didn't say it could be any good.
I'm not comparing anybody to a fat lady or a bearded lady.
And it may not.
Really,
and it may not be any good. We'll have to see. I mean, there are other things around that will rise or take away from that possibility, and that means the roster. But I do think that their quarterback room is suddenly intriguing, in a relative sense. It's not intriguing in a Kansas City Chiefs sense. It's intriguing in a Denver Broncos sense. I am as intrigued by this quarterback room as I've been for a while when I look at the Broncos going into this season. It was a fait accompli with Russ. The question was just going to be, how is Russ going to perform?
So what you're saying is we have a lot of potential.
Not even saying that.
Well, that's what we have.
We
have a lot of guys who haven't done it before.
I'm just saying that it is interesting.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of guys now that are interesting.
You have a lot more talent in the room.
You do.
You have a lot more talent. Doesn't mean you have better football players.
And it doesn't mean that it's going to equate to wins.
Right.
It just doesn't. I'm sticking with intriguing. To me, it's a much more intriguing.
It's intriguing.
Room.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Feel bad for DiNucci.
Well, I mean.
Yeah. The game of musical chairs, the music has stopped and there's only three and he doesn't have one.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Coming up after the break, what a Nuggets win again.
Wow.
Last night.
Mm.
I don't even know if they need to play the game on Saturday.
Really?
No, that's next. Last 3 days.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Tuesday, there's an auction featuring vehicles, trailers, ride-on mowers, lawn and garden equipment, hardwood flooring, a hot tub, a boat, and more. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, if you have nothing going on this weekend, looking for a new ride, highly recommend you head up to Silterhar Mazda in Broomfield. Mazda's routinely ranked top 5 in affordability, reliability, fuel economy. Luxury is there. Durability is there. Go take one for a test drive this weekend up in Broomfield, and you can get 0.9% financing on a lot of their models. They have full inventory. Go to Broomfield today for a test drive or check them out at sthmazda.com. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by High Country Performance 4x4 in Englewood, Colorado's premier one-stop shop for anything and everything 4x4s and trucks. High Country Performance 4x4, building cool since 1980. Go to hcp4x4.com.
3-0 lead for the Nuggets. They can close out the Lakers tomorrow night. I'll tell you right now, I believe it was Michael Malone said we were holding a few things back.
He did. Yes.
Was that Aaron Gordon, 29 points, 15 rebounds? Was he holding Aaron Gordon back? Clearly he wasn't. But if you have Aaron Gordon with that box score, MPJ, 20 and 10, and then Jokic and Murray being Jokic and Murray, they're going to sweep their way to the NBA title. Sweep their way. Now, that's not going to happen. But if they can get those type of performances, they are literally a freight train that cannot be stopped.
Well, especially if they start knocking down some threes, which they haven't done at all in this series.
They weren't a big three-point shooting team this season. It's really Michael
Five
Porter.
Of 28 is an issue.
No, I agree. Guys think they're really good at shooting the three, mm-hmm. but they're not. MPJ is, Jamal Murray is. Mm-hmm. Jokic is.
Yeah, he is.
And then you get a lot of inconsistency and then, with everybody else.
Then not so much.
Right.
KCP every now and then can be a hot three-point shooter, but No, they don't live and die by the three-point shot, but you would sure like to see a few of them go in. But their balance last night with four guys scoring 20 or better, their calm, being close. When I really started paying attention to the Nuggets, it wasn't until halftime.
Me too. I left my event at halftime, and I hopped in the car, and boom. The ball was coming up court to start the third quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
Full disclosure.
And so when they're only down four, I'm like, well, this game's done.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean that. I mean, I really felt that.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen one bit of the game. I'd looked at the numbers and I'd looked at metrics and stats and things like that. And I got to watch enough of the third quarter to shut it down and say, okay, it's 3-0. It's 3-0 in this series.
Well, I'll tell you why you felt that way. Because you have seen a 12-point deficit in the past.
Yes.
Game one. I'll liken it to a horse race where you've seen them way behind halfway through the race. And you have seen them come back and not have a secretariat-like finish.
Right.
But win comfortably. So when you're up, by 3 or 4? Or you're down by 3 or 4 at halftime,
mm-hmm. I mean, that's,
and you've seen them come back from a 12-point deficit and a 20-point deficit, oh, goodness, this race is over.
Yes.
With that, does falling behind concern you moving forward into the playoffs or make you feel more confident knowing that this team, the champs, play with so much poise?
They play with a lot of poise, but Aaron Gordon said it after last night. He said, hey, you know, this is 3 straight games of it now, and this is a trait that I think that they would rather not have to have.
Right.
And I agree with him. I would prefer to see just a little more focus, just a little bit more attentiveness.
They're going to play better teams moving forward.
Yes. In the next round, period.
If they fall behind by 20 to Minnesota, I'm not so sure Secretariat will be on the track that game.
Right. I would agree with you. Yeah, the Lakers aren't Minnesota.
No.
And how's that sound, Lakers fans?
I'll tell you what I think about your team, Lakers fans. They played with no sense of urgency.
No.
They look like a beaten team.
Isn't it wonderful to be a Nuggets fan at the time when the Lakers are crumbling? I mean, seriously, this series, however it ends, in a sweep, in 5 games, whatever it ends up being, signals the end of this configuration of the Lakers as we know it.
Maybe. Well, what if LeBron comes back?
I mean, okay.
And then AD comes back.
Great. Okay, so they come back and finish 7th, 8th again, play in the play-in round, and and have no chance against the Nuggets team, which fundamentally will be the same next year as it is now. There's a part of me that it's like, it's kind of nice for the Nuggets to be the one crumbling the foundation that the Lakers have been laid on. I find it delightful. I hope that doesn't sound petty. I just like the end result of it. I think it's cool.
No.
Good for the Nuggets.
11 in a row.
I mean, and generally I'm not a 11 in a row kind of guy, but the way that they've won these last three games, kind of almost in like, don't worry about it, fashion. Now, the game two, obviously, was a different kind of thing. But their level of confidence to do what they need to do, I just would like to see it recognized a little earlier in games. And I think it's important that they do that moving forward because the teams that they're going to be playing are better.
Do you think that maybe they come out flat a little bit because they know that it's not that the Lakers are old, because they're not. The roster is not old. They have two guys that are older.
They do.
And one guy, by basketball terms, is old. You know, what did we say after game one? If you're a Lakers fan, guy shouldn't even be starting. What do we say about that guy after game two? He was unbelievable. What are we saying about D'Angelo Russell now after game three? If he doesn't show up and he can't score, you're laying it on two guys.
Yeah.
Austin Reeves stepped up.
Yep.
But their three cannot beat the Nuggets five.
No. I mean, a goose egg?
After the game he just
D'Angelo
had?
D'Angelo Russell? I mean.
But is that, if I would have told you before this series that D'Angelo Russell would go scoreless in one of these games, would that have surprised you, that comment? Knowing what he did last year.
No, but yes. I mean, a zip? Yet? Nada? Yeah, I think that would have surprised me. I mean, at least give him four or five by mistake. They're running everything through AD and LeBron.
Right.
I mean,
by the way, for as great as Anthony Davis has played in this series, and you tip your cap to him,
mm-hmm.
he has been unbelievable.
He's been the chance.
Right. However, he went scoreless in the fourth quarter in game two and scored 3 points in the fourth quarter last night. How in the world your best player on the floor is scoring a total of 3 points, taking almost no shots in the fourth quarter, not feeding the beast, is basketball malpractice.
That's on the Lakers.
Right.
Anthony Davis is averaging about 43 minutes, something like that, yeah, in this. And it's telling late,
yeah,
for him, I think, anyway.
But getting back to the Nuggets, and I said this about this team last year, and it is clear about this team this year. I don't know of any or many starting fives that can say we can get a 20-point score out of any of our starters. And, yes, I'm talking about KCP as well.
Absolutely.
He takes the tough defensive assignment on the perimeter, so they don't expect him to be a scorer. He can. And I love him in big situations.
Yeah.
Because he always seems to hit the big shot.
Yeah.
But Aaron Gordon, you know, flexing 29-15.
Yeah, well, he was, I mean.
And then MPJ, just another ho-hum 20-point game. He has really taken strides. It's not that I'm going to sit and apologize to Tim Connelly, because I still believe it was the wrong move to give MPJ that contract at that time. But now he's locked up.
Yeah.
We hope he can stay healthy.
Yes.
But this guy has been as cool as you can get in clutch situations. He's made big shots, specifically with about a minute 15 to go in game two. And he has been the guy to hit shots when Murray is struggling, when Jokic isn't taking shots. He is now a legitimate third option on this team. I'm not ready, unless you are, to call them a three-headed monster. But you can make the case they are trending in that direction right now.
Well, they're
pretty quickly.
They're a three-headed monster if you combine Gordon and MPJ. Right?
But here's the thing. You know you can get 20 out of Gordon.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know you can get 20 out of MPJ.
Yeah.
You're not really going to get 20 out of Aaron Gordon. To get 29 is an outlier.
Yeah.
But you know you can consistently now.
Yeah, if you get 16 and 10, you're playing with house money when you got Gordon. I look, the Nuggets are, again, Jamal Murray has not had a great series. He's had a great moment, and he's had a great fourth quarter in this series. But he's played, what's 4 times 3? 12, right? Is that good? 12 quarters, and he's had really one good one, one great one, one memorable and iconic one.
And what has buoyed this team when Murray isn't shooting well is Michael Porter Jr., who is averaging 20 points a game.
He's picked up the slack.
And oh, by the way, when I say average, okay, it's not like the stat I'm about to read. Michael Porter Jr.'s three-point shooting percentage for this series is 48%. Shot 33% last night, 43% on 3-of-7 shooting in game one, and then 60% in game two.
Yeah.
That number at 48 is like a wow, but it was buoyed by the 60%.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at 20 points a game, there's no buoy there. Game one, 19 points. Game two, 22 points. Game three, last night, 20 points.
Yeah.
That is as consistent as you are going
That's
to get.
That's a sweet spot for him.
And, oh, by the way, when it comes to his shooting percentage, he is shooting 55% from the floor. Nothing is truly buoyed there, even though he shot 62% in game two. Shot 50% last night, 8 of 16. And then in game one, 8 of 15. He has been consistent. And, by the way, his rebounding, 9 a game. Nothing is buoyed. It's been consistent.
Yep.
Last night, 10 rebounds.
It's who he is, right?
Game two, 9 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
8 rebounds in game one. He has been a model of consistency. Nobody can guard him because they don't. We talked about this going into this series, and we used weight as our metric. When the Lakers play bigger front lines, they're not a very good basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're like 7-10, something like that. When they play bigger front lines, they're not very good. When they play smaller front lines, they run over them. And when you look at their front line, it's not like it's small. LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Rui, right?
Right.
Yeah. But they're playing who's going to guard Porter? They don't have anybody.
Well, that's what makes Michael Porter Jr. is evolving into the type of player that you hoped he would for that very reason. Because at 6'10", 6'11", whatever the hell he is, he's a very difficult matchup.
Coming up after the break, the Avalanche play tonight. Hey, by the way, Bruce, I heard you on the show the other day. I wasn't doing it because one of my daughters was sick. You were very, very apologetic about questioning Bednar putting Georgiev in goal, which a lot of people don't say I was wrong. So all on you.
No problem.
I said they should have started. Just want to put that out there. And I actually bet on it that the Avs would win by a couple of goals. But all that aside, and I say that very jokingly, as you know, how do you feel about Georgie starting tonight? Has he proven enough that you feel confident? That's next.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, mileysports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Tuesday, there's an auction featuring vehicles, trailers, ride-on mowers, lawn and garden equipment, hardwood flooring, a hot tub, a boat, all kinds of good stuff. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silterhar Mazda. Get to Silterhar in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silterhar Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
Game three tonight, Avs, Jets. Georgiev likely back in goal. How do you feel about him now?
I still got to prove it to me.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, you're not walking in there as a fan with a whole lot of confidence.
No,
after.
Please.
This is the perfect example of never judge somebody on their best day.
Right.
And never judge somebody on their worst day. You can make the case his worst day was game one. His best day in weeks was game two.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, one game does not a trend make.
Right. Not a knock on him. He's the one who has that trend.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to be fair about it, his defense, for the most part, has not played well in front of him.
That was different in game two, though, wasn't it?
It sure was.
Boy.
And to me, that is the key to winning tonight and this series. If their defense can pay more attention to the defensive end, those offensive opportunities will be there.
Yeah.
They just have to convert. They just have to convert on it. But Manson was a perfect, he scored, it was a breakaway.
Right.
It was a breakaway, but defensively, he was terrific. And he said it as such heading into game two. I really need to concentrate on why I am in this league.
Right. Exactly. And it was very telling. They were so much better in front of him in game two. He was better. Defensively, the Avalanche were better. It's a pretty good recipe, but I'm not ready to bet the house on it yet. We'll see.
I think everything comes down to how do they play in front of him.
Sure.
I understand the Jets have four lines, but it's not like they're high-flying lines. The Avs have more talent. They just do. But here's something else, because I wasn't here the other day because it was a family emergency. I've said this many times, and it proved out in game two. Somebody who knows a lot more about hockey than I do, former NHL player, said to me, and I've said this phrase before, and if you haven't heard it, I'll repeat it. Your top two lines win you regular season games, and your bottom two lines win you playoff games. And those bottom two lines won them this game.
Yeah.
Yes, MacKinnon was great. Yes, Makar was great. Nichushkin might have been the player of the game. Especially with the way he was blocking shots. He plays the PK and yada, yada, yada. But they got goals, not from unlikely sources, because these guys have scored in the past. But they contributed. They won 5-2. Let's call it 4-2 because it's an empty net goal. They won by two goals, and they got a pair of goals from their bottom six.
So how...
And Manson.
How immediately transferable is this to the game tonight?
I will let you know at about 10:30.
Thank you very much.
I am all about making fearless predictions when I know I'm 100% right.
Because this is kind of like getting the horse to water and then making him drink it. They did it in the last outing. But the Avs have been very inconsistent about this all season long. In fairness to them, they won 50 and lost 25. This is still a very extremely good hockey team. My questions come in a relative sense for the inconsistency that they've had in a relative sense this year. Is it automatic that they show up with that knowledge and that application tonight? The very thing that helped them win game two. Will they automatically just carry it over and apply it tonight, or do things change? They get a little happy playing in their own building. The crowd, maybe the wind in their sails pushes them off and makes them do things maybe that they normally might not. I don't know. These are things that I've got to get answers to.
Well,
because they lost to Winnipeg 7-0 2 weeks ago at home.
Do you feel that this team has leadership in that locker room? Do you feel that Jared Bednar is an excellent coach? If Jared Bednar is an excellent coach, which he is, and they do have leadership in that locker room, then all Bednar needs to do is show tape of how they played defensively.
I'm with you,
and that's
dude.
That's it. That's it. That's the game film you watch.
I mean, I hear you.
Anything on the opposite side of the ice, just cut it up and throw it away. We know what they can do offensively. Mm. And oh, by the way, because I wasn't here the other day, that pass by McKinnon.
Oh, my God.
Was as close as you can get to a three-line pass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as close as you could get to a three-line pass, which would have been offsides.
Yes. But the imagination to even that it takes to even make a play like that.
Yeah.
This dude.
Here's the other thing about winning tonight. Yes, you have to play more sound in your defensive end. The one thing that I think people might want to say about the Avalanche is they're not a tough team. You can push them around. They don't have a lot of physical players. Winnipeg as a team is physical. They want to push you around. They want to slow it down. The Avs were outstanding on their forecheck. They were very good on their backcheck. They were the ones hitting as much as they were being hit. As far as block shots go, Winnipeg is great at that. I think it was something like 17-6 through two periods, something like that. But then when you look at the block shots in the third period, when Winnipeg was desperate, it was one blocked shot after the next. That has to continue through three periods, not just the third.
All right. I know what I'll be looking for.
They have to be more physical on the ice overall, better on their forecheck to keep the puck in the offensive zone, and they have to be sound defensively. I mean, would you really blame Georgiev on those two goals that he gave up?
No. Tough shots.
Mistakes.
Right.
Mistakes. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
We'll discuss the Falcons' stunning move taking Michael Penix at number 8 and Kirk Cousins' reaction to the pick, and also get into Joel Embiid's eventful evening last night. That's up next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
World on you depends, our life will never end. Gotta love your man.
You've been running around, throwing that dirt all on my name. Cause you knew that I'd call you up. You've been going around every party in LA. Cause you knew that I'd be at one. Oh. I know that dress is karma, perfume regret.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Tuesday, there's an auction featuring vehicles, trailers, ride-on mowers, lawn and garden equipment, a boat, hot tub, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word.
Are you ready?
Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to MountainHighAppliance.com.
The Atlanta Falcons stunned just about everybody yesterday when they took Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick. Kirk Cousins, who just signed a 4-year, $180 million contract with the Falcons last month in free agency, was reportedly frustrated and confused with the pick, as he understood a QB would be considered, but he didn't believe his successor would be taken in the first round. If you are Kirk Cousins right now, how are you feeling?
Probably a little PO'd. I didn't It was absolutely head shaking. It was just one of the most head shaking moments I can think of in my history with the draft. Anyway, Terry Fontenot's comment afterwards, and this is the general manager of the Falcons: "These are tough decisions. We were thinking about the fans. We were thinking about the organization. We're going to build a sustained winner. We're going to win for a long time. That's the most important position in football."
Well, it is.
It is, but, I mean, isn't this kind of about 3 years?
I would not be upset if I'm Kirk Cousins about my job security and a guy looking over my shoulder. Money's guaranteed. Money's guaranteed.
Right.
Michael Penix is not going to hit the field as long as Kirk Cousins stays healthy. I'd be upset if I were Kirk Cousins that they didn't pick up an impact player to help him potentially win a title.
I would agree with that.
That's where, honestly, I would be upset if I were him.
Because if they're ready-made, you're looking for pieces just to add to the puzzle.
Yeah. By the way, I don't want to hijack just in case you missed it. I'll take over, though, and ask you guys, how did the Raiders and the Chiefs and the Chargers do in the draft?
Well, the Chiefs did Chiefs-like things. They just went out and got a fast guy.
They got the fastest guy in the history of the NFL.
Right. So, I mean, good for the Chiefs.
Really
good for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
He's a small, he's a small dude, but, I mean, he is a straight-line blazer.
Right.
So...
I know you guys like Bowers too.
I do.
That's a great pick, I think.
But that's a puzzling pick too.
Yeah, because they picked up
Mayer.
Yeah, they
Michael Mayer was a
second round pick.
However, you can't pass up a guy like him.
No, you can't.
And I am not suggesting we're going to have the second coming of Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. Hopefully, not Aaron Hernandez in the wrong way, or Ruggs in the wrong way. But I digress. Can you imagine what you can do on offense with two pass-catching tight ends like that?
They can play heavy, that's for sure.
And, oh, by the way, they have Devontae Adams. I don't know who their running back is. I don't know really who their quarterback is. But, right?
Well, we'll find out soon enough, right? Yeah. I mean, there are questions that need to be answered in Vegas. And may that be an eternal thing about the Raiders.
From how people look at Brock Bowers, I'm not suggesting this is going to happen. The Broncos have had enough problems trying to slow down Travis Kelce, just like the other 31 teams in the league.
Sure.
Now Brock Bowers is coming into the division.
Right.
Now, granted, Patrick Mahomes isn't playing for the Raiders. I understand that. But he's going to be a handful for a very, very long time.
Agreed. Absolutely.
I mean, unless there's Marvin Harrison or Neighbors, when it comes to pass catchers and size and the position that they play, Bowers is top three.
The one thing...
Then again, that's what we said about Pitts.
True. I think that chapter is still yet to be totally penned, but we'll find out.
Penix and Pitts?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
But I will say this. The one thing about the Bo Nix thing that if you really wanted to push back on...
Wait, we have another segment about this.
Would be, very simply, you had impact players all around you on a roster that needed immediate help. You had the best defensive player in the draft, still not taken. There was a tackle that was already gone. Two, in fact, I think, at that point. But, I mean, best corner. Hell, a defender wasn't taken until the 14th pick in the draft.
You know what
you had your choice of anybody on the defensive board.
This reminds me of when the Broncos brought in Peyton Manning and then they went out and drafted Brock Osweiler. And people were all bent out of shape about it. First of all, that was the 2012 draft class that had a lot of really good quarterbacks in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, we knew the following year, 2013, was not going to be very good.
Right.
Okay. With that, I understood why people said, why not get another weapon for Manning or help them out defensively for Manning, right? I get that. But they had to bring in a guy who was coming off four major neck surgeries.
Right.
For Kirk Cousins, it is an ACL.
Yes.
And I get, not an ACL, it's a Achilles.
Achilles.
I understand that. But four major neck surgeries, for a guy who literally could not pick up a football, you know, maybe however many months prior, big difference. And Manny's contract was not guaranteed for 4 years. Totally different scenario.
Bizarre.
That was Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it. You can walk in any store, try out the appliances before you buy them. They have a price match guarantee. When it comes to financing, they have great financing options. Go check them out. Go there this weekend if you need to get an appliance. If you want to redesign your entire kitchen, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, why was Sean Payton so eager to get Bo Nix and not trade back, take him at 12? Why was there no way he was going to let his quarterback slip away? There's some history about this that dates back to 2017. We'll discuss that next.